On tonight's agenda, we take a look back at 2021 and look forward to the year that lies ahead. Former Chief Ministers Alan Bell and Tony Brown explore various topics which have caught our imaginations, including the leadership and future direction of our island. Have we become the grumpy old men of Manx politics?
Tony can lead.
And so can you, Alan.
No.
So we've got two former chief ministers joining us to take a look back over 2021 and look forward to see what 2022 might bring and perhaps what it will bring. So who wants to start? Tony, you're never lost for words. What would you say are the things that are the highlights for the year just gone?
Well, I think the highlights is everybody trying to live with COVID. I don't think we can avoid that. I think we're all fed up of hearing about it, but I don't think we can just ignore it. And there's no doubt it's impacted on how we think, how we feel, what we do, where we go. And I think everybody is looking forward to actually the situation improving and moving on during 2022 to a better quality of life, because it's had a massive impact on how we all live.
And do you think it will get better over the course of the next year? Because I think we all thought that in 2021, that this was a flash in the pan, government got in control of it and everything was looking very rosy around about Christmas time. And then suddenly we get into 2021 and we're back into lockdowns and things not looking as well as they might.
Well, I think the thing I've picked up about 2021 was the situation where there was greater uncertainty. And I don't think it's helped, not just in the Isle of Man, but very much because we hear the news, what's happened in the UK, which is the uncertainty of lack of definitive decision making. In other words, you can do this and you can't do that. I think this idea of saying to people, and I understand part of the reason, that, well, we recommend you do this. Well, the trouble then is that people don't, and some people do. And it creates, I think, some friction. I think people get scared. I think it creates uncertainty. And it just makes life a bit more uncomfortable. If they said, for example, when you're on public transport, you must wear a mask when you're travelling, that's fine, but you also have to have some form of policing, and you can't allow, for example, if it's a bus in the Isle of Man, just the driver to deal with it, because it's nearly impossible for him to do that. So maybe the inspectors should have been more involved in checking the buses. And also, you know, what's the offence if you don't?
So, Alan, any highlights for you? Any new charity shops opened in Ramsey or coffee shops or...
No, coffee's as good as ever. No, I would agree with Tony, actually, that the overriding memory of this year again is going to be COVID and how we've dealt with it. And the ramifications, which I think will run on for a number of years, it's not just going to disappear overnight. I think some of the comments Tony made are accurate, but one of the other things, two things, I suppose, that worry me about COVID at the moment is that the Isle of Man tends to get its sort of background news, it does get its background news from the United Kingdom through the UK media. And I think some of the stories which have been coming out in the UK, particularly in the last few days, are going to have a damaging effect on the willingness of a lot of people to actually abide by the very rules Tony was talking about and wearing masks on buses and things like that. Boris Johnson has done untold harm to public credibility in supporting these rules, which we all know we have to live by if we're going to survive. And that sort of subliminal background news is not going to go away, and it's going to continue to erode. No matter what the Manx government says, puts out, it is going to erode confidence in the recommendations of authority, if you like, to abide by these rules. The other thing which gives me a real concern about that, we've heard a lot about the economy and all very valid stuff. But it's the impact of, what, 2 years now of COVID on the mental health of an awful lot of people. And I think we are going to have a real problem over this next 2 or 3, 4 years in tackling this almost hidden impact of COVID on a large number of people. And that's going to be a real challenge for government as well as society generally to deal with that, because a lot of people I know of anyway who have been suffering in silence, very quietly away from the public eye, but it's going to take them a long time to recover from the uncertainty that Tony refers to. And the stress all that has put them under.
Yes, I know certainly for ourselves, you know, we often go out to perform at concerts and things, and there's always this uncertainty. Will the concert actually happen? Will it not happen? I think the latest round of concern expressed by Manx government immediately resulted in a whole load of people going and cancelling everything. Mm. It's a difficult time. But any other things moving away from COVID? I mean,
I was going to say, yeah. I think one of the things the government could do here in the Isle of Man, which I think they have been failing in doing, is actually give people confidence that there's more to life than COVID. The point Alan makes about how it's affecting people, we know that some people are being affected, mainly because everybody's getting swamped with non-stop news about things before necessarily we know whether or not it's going to be as bad as they say. But life has to go on. And, you know, the Isle of Man is a small place. We haven't got the luxury of borrowing billions of pounds to keep us rolling, if you like. And we have to continue to develop our society, to provide a good quality of life for people, to care for people. One of the things in 2021 that people were getting concerned about was this situation when they needed medical care, the point that they were held back because of the pressures on the health service. About opportunities, where do I invest my money? Where do I create a business? Unless you give confidence, if government doesn't lead and give confidence, people lose confidence. And I think that's something we really need to tackle during 2022. And we need to make sure that people see there's opportunities, that they still can do things that they used to do before, albeit that in certain areas there might be some restrictions. But there's a lot of areas there isn't. You know, people still have ambitions. We should build on that. If we're going to be successful, we have to develop the Isle of Man to be successful. We cannot just keep basically dealing only with COVID. And that's really, I think, been a problem in 2021.
And Alan, I mean, one of the other things that clearly have happened during the course of 2021 is we had a bit of an election. Well, actually, you've had several in Ramsey, haven't you?
We like elections in Ramsey, yeah. We enjoyed the first one so much, we came back and had a couple more.
So, confident with the new brooms? Because, the new brooms swept out last time's new brooms, didn't they? So we've got a very inexperienced Tynwald now, really, haven't we?
I think the last time we spoke, I touched on this point. This, the one thing which does give me concern about the outcome of the last election, well, two things maybe. We now have a very inexperienced group, and I think, if I remember rightly, 17 out of 24 of the MHKs we have in the Keys at the moment have 5 years or less experience. And when you bear in mind, we touched on COVID, but lots of other problems which are cropping up, the next 5 years are going to be really challenging 5 years in a whole host of areas.
You can take him out of the Treasury, but he keeps trotting out those Treasury lines to it's going to be difficult and, the budget.
No, I'm not just thinking about financial issues at all. I think there's a lot of issues that worry me over this next few years that the island's going to have to deal with. And I know everybody who has stood and has been successful are doing it with the best of intentions, but you can't beat having a degree of experience of how the Isle of Man has operated over the last few years and a knowledge of that sort of corporate memory of some of the serious issues we've had to deal with and how we try to tackle them. So I just hope that we will be more alert to some of these problems which are cropping up. Now, the other thing that worries me, not just because of the election itself and the outcome, but what is likely to come our way in 2022 and beyond, is the threat to democracy and the disengagement of large numbers of the public now with the voting process. We had a reduction in substantial reduction in turnout at the last election. We've had local authority elections in the teens of percentages voter turnout. They're reducing and reducing. It seems to me that one of the big issues cropping up as a result of the election is we have to find a way to revitalise democracy in the Isle of Man and re-engage the wider public with the body politic in the House of Keys. And that's going to be a big challenge.
You're listening to former Chief Ministers Alan Bell and Tony Brown. So one of the things that's going to happen in 2022 is a plan of sorts is going to be signed up to. The government plan is out in its draft form, and there's this a very optimistic view taken by the ministers that I've spoken to about it, and indeed many Timbal members seem quite enthusiastic about it. They've mildly critical of previous plans, suggesting there was far too much in them, and we're going to be much more focused and much more. There's going to be fewer things done better in these new plans. Is that a fair charge? There was too much waffle in the previous ones.
Well, I think plans are fine. Strategic plan to show where you hope to go in the next 5 years, and we do that in a different way because, of course, we don't have political parties in charge of the politics. So I think the public have a right to know how a chief minister, I've been there, Alan's been there, wants to go forward, so they at least can judge where you're going. I think it's early days for the present Tynwald and Keys to know how good they're going to be. Time will tell. But I think also what's important from my perspective is it's not a matter of what you say. It's actually members understanding how they achieve it. Do they understand the budget process? Do they understand the legislative process? Do they understand how regulations operate? And I think there seems to be quite a lean towards doing my job is asking lots of questions. Now, I don't believe that's right. I never have done. Questions are valuable. But more important to the people of the Isle of Man and what matters to them is actually making sure you secure their quality of life, provide opportunities for them and their families. And to do that, as we all know, you have to work consistently at it. Yes, you deal with a crisis, say, for example, or problems, but you have to also at the same time, especially as ministers, develop the economy, make sure we have a financial and secure future. Now, if you don't do that, where are we going to go? And I do think that greater emphasis needs to be done on that. Look at the advantages we do have. And I don't think they're identified clearly enough. And some of the new members will need to understand this sort of process, how it works. And that's where the older members, albeit they haven't been there a long time, some of them, they should have an understanding. Those who've been in one full term should now have a good understanding of how the budget works, how they can use the Isle of Man's finances, how we can invest in it. And when they're talking about, investing in capital schemes, telling people what that actually means. And if Tynwald themselves don't understand that, there's a reluctance then to do it, except where you've got crisis management, which is what we've seen on the odd occasion in 2021 with the Liverpool landing stage, the new area they're building. The similar could be happening with Douglas Prom. We don't know the final bill for that. That's not the way to manage the government. You've got to deal with crisis, but you've also got to invest in the proper way so that you know what you're developing, the schools and different things. And our school, the new school for Castlerushen, has been put back yet again. How long can you keep putting these things back? So there has to be a proper plan. So it's all right having a plan that says the things that people need to hear, but you think of the plan how you make it happen.
I think that there's two or three issues there that give me some concern. Tony talks about crisis management. Crisis management obviously recently has been evolving out of COVID. What worries me is what has gone on behind the smokescreen of COVID that we don't know about over the last few years, not just in the Isle of Man, but particularly in Westminster, which could have an impact on the Isle of Man in the process. I think that has been used as a catch-all excuse in lots of areas for actions not having been taken, or more worryingly, actions which have been taken, which we haven't been properly told about. And I think we must watch that very, very carefully. And Tony's absolutely right again about the need to develop a stronger economy. Now, outwardly at the moment, the Aliban looks good. The economy seems to be holding up. But it's a very fragile creature, the Aliban economy, and it always has been and it always will be because we are just a small country. And unless the new government very quickly gets to grips with understanding how the economy works, where the weaknesses are, and in particular, where the international moves are going in terms of regulation, controls, finance, for example. There's been an international agreement on tax not too long ago. How does that affect us? The danger in the Aliban is that people get elected to the House of Keys, in effect, looking at it as a glorified local authority. It's not. It's a national government. And national politicians have to look internationally if we are going to be able to keep up with the game. And the lack of experience in the Keys at the moment would indicate to me that that at the moment may not be happening. But we will not have any choice very quickly because I think international issues are going to impose themselves on us and we will have no choice.
And the ability to use legislation, I've always made this point, as others have. You know, one of our biggest strengths is we can pass law and we can make that law, albeit to be compliant with international law, work to our benefit. We've got a tax system we can make work to our benefit. If these things, if we're not successful in these areas to develop the economy, and we already have a situation where a lot of people in the Aliban, you know, are struggling, they're having difficult times, there's very little being done for them. On one hand, government says we're going to do this, but it doesn't give the other side of the coin. You know, we want you to insulate your homes, but we're not giving you really proper grants, you know. People know what's going on in the UK, in Scotland, and they say, well, they're getting that help. Why aren't we? You have pensioners, single pensioners, women, 2/3 of their pension going on their rent and rates. What are they living on? Very little. Yet nobody seems to be focusing in on that sort of area and saying, if we don't develop the economy, we can't look after our people.
You're listening to former Chief Ministers Alan Bell and Tony Brown. So then, looking at, into the future, imagine we're sat back here in just before Christmas 2022, and we're able to look back at this programme and say, well, he got that right. Maybe he didn't quite get this one right. What do you think that we would be looking back on if we were to move on 12 months to December 2022? What would you confidently predict is likely to have happened by then?
If we were in a celebratory mood in 12 months' time, possibly the promenade works will be finished.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say 100% certain, but there is a possibility that it could be complete, and I'm sure there'll be celebrations the length and breadth of the island as a result of that.
Tony, any?
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you. I thought Alan was just getting worked up.
Well, he was.
No, it's something we should acknowledge, I think.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think the point is, you know, we jest and we should jest. Life, you have to have a bit of fun in life, don't you? And Alan's absolutely right. That's the focus of many people's minds. What on earth's going on? Because we all know what the problem was like before and we're seeing what it's now being developed at. It's been designed to be anti-vehicle, basically, and it's going to succeed. The problem is, of course, it's the main artery through Douglas. So I think one of the problems may well be when we move on, is at the end of the year, we'll find that while the problem's finished, we still have the massive congestion on Bray Hill and down through there because actually we've detracted people from going onto the prom as another artery. But I think importantly, you know, what's going to be the benefit to people in terms of how they achieve in their lives? The lack of first-time buyer houses, I still think will be an issue unless, and I hope the new Chief Minister, as he's a bit more new now, but he's newish. I hope he'll have a vision to try and improve that situation. Talking about affordable housing is nonsense. It's first-time buyer housing we need. Also, I think the ability for people to get on and improve their quality of life and for government to maybe be a bit more caring. I do think it's lost a lot of its caring attitude. And members don't seem to, or many of them, don't seem to bother about it. They just... you know, say things to people. But, you know, you can say what you like, but if there's no bread on the table, you can't eat. And people have to have confidence that those in those positions who they've elected are actually going to work hard on their behalf to make life better. And if you don't do that, what on earth are you in there for?
And is this, though, not just a case of the grumpy old men of Manx politics just sort of looking for the negatives rather than the positives? I mean,
My positive is that we actually make things better.
Yeah.
So I've been positive all the way through this. I'm saying I'm concerned that there is a negative. We don't know yet, in fairness, it's early days, how the new chief minister is going to perform. We know him, both of us know him, in fact the three of us know him, and I hope he's successful, because if the Chief Minister's successful and the Council of Ministers are successful and Tynwald's successful, then the Isle of Man is successful. And I think one of the biggest things they could do is improve transparency. So much stuff's happening, people don't know what's happening.
And there's some quite bold suggestions, dare I even say promises. If they're in a draft plan, are they promises yet? I don't know. But the very enthusiastic and optimistic ministers that I've been talking to on the show and elsewhere, they're all very confident that they're really going to get this to work, which is great to hear. One of the things they've committed to, for example, is that all government departments and agencies shall come to Tynwald, not just with their annual report, but they will come and there will be a debate on their annual report, and any recommendations or proposals for the following year will be approved or otherwise by Tynwald.
Tony will know full well we've been through all this.
Absolutely.
Years ago. Well, 20 years ago or more, we had the policy debate, the annual policy debates, which in principle sound fine. In the end, they became a complete farce, frankly, and the government scrapped them in the end, because it was a lot of hot air, a lot of talk about nothing, and very little of any real substance came out of it. So I applaud the idea of getting the policy more actively debated on the floor of Tynwald. But I just hope there is some substance to that debate when it happens. Now, the initial island plan was published at the end of 2021. I understand the debate is going to take place in January 2022 with a bit more meat on the bone. And I think once we see that, we'll have a better idea of what their key priorities are going to be. At the moment, frankly, it's a lot of nice words. Every minister, every politician that gets elected for the first time, we can see that the sunny uplands are within touching distance. We're going to solve the whole of the world's problems. We'll have peace and understanding from one corner of the world to the other. That always happens. It's in the nature of politics. And unfortunately, that sometimes, or will at some point, run up into the brick wall of reality. And that is the time where you start to judge the quality of politicians and the ambition of policy delivery that they're able to achieve.
I think also, if I can just add to Alan, I mean, I think the point is that the Chief Minister, whoever he or she may be, and we know the present Chief Minister, really has no option but to put a strategy before Tynwald, to say, this is where I want to go in the next 5 years. I did it. Now, my document, when I brought it out, was different than ones before. It was very brief. It headlined what we wanted to do, and then it said how we wanted to achieve it. Alan's, I think, was similar. That's fine. If you bring out, as we used to have in the early days, which Alan's talking about, documents with like 400 pages in, which nobody hardly read, it's just a waste of effort.
I still remember John Rimmington's comments. I think it was his own department's plan.
And no doubt.
He flung it on the desk and said, this is meaningless drivel.
Yeah. Well, I can remember saying to a chief secretary in the Council of Ministers, I don't know if Alan would remember this, and we were so fed up with going through these documents. There was, I think, three of them at one stage we had to produce to go to Tynwald. And we were going through them, and there was a bit of frivolity, as there can be when you get a bit bored. And the chief secretary got quite agitated, because, of course, naturally they put a lot of work into it. And he said, you know, this is serious. We need to concentrate on this. And I said, hang on, let's be real. We can pass this tomorrow. Tinwell can approve it next month, and the day after we change the policy because the world has changed. That's how important that document is. Politicians react to situations. We have to plan for the future as best we can. We have to work hard to make it happen, but things might change and we have to respond to that change or we're in trouble.
Well,
the one certainty is that things will change.
Yeah.
And it will change after January, no matter what all the fine words which will come out during that debate. The world will change very quickly, and so the policy will change with it.
I hate to say this, but we're almost out of time because I'm enjoying.
Well, you
this.
Need to go on oh, longer.
One word answers from you on this. Confident predictions for 2022. Will the Peggy be back in Castletown?
Not by then, but hopefully they'll have made a decision that will actually be, yes, it is going back to Castletown, and we've actually got a date and we've got the money to do it, because the money is there. What's missing is the lack of will to make it happen.
And that's not a bad one-word answer there from the former Chief Minister. Will Man United have won the Champions League and the Premiership in 2022?
No, I think United will probably concede the championship to Liverpool, but we probably almost certainly will win the Champions League, yes.
Excellent. So there you have it. Do you agree with any of that? It'll be interesting to see what the new year brings. But for now, I'm Phil Gorn. Goramayu. Thanks for listening.